to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. It's a great pleasure to have with us once again a man I've come to admire greatly in the course of our numerous conversations on this program. He is Dan Perkins. He is a veteran. He is an author. He is a money manager. And he is a man working to help save the lives of American servicemen and women who have been harmed in the course of their service to our country. We're delighted to have a chance to showcase all of that with him. Thank you so much, Dan, for joining us once again, the author, most recently, of The Brotherhood of the Red Nile. Thanks for joining us, sir.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me on again.
We'd like to talk about several things with you. First and foremost, you have been doing some, I would say, path-breaking thinking about how we must contend with a threat from North Korea before we lose American lives. Talk about a recommendation you made some 7 weeks ago, and also about sort of what it seems is now a growing sense that you were absolutely right. It is what's needed.
I have obviously studied, because of my trilogy on radical Islamic nuclear terrorism, I've had an opportunity to spend a huge amount of time researching terrorism and nuclear weapons. And so it came to me that at the time, nobody was talking about what might be a least costly in terms of human life on either side of a way to bring this North Korean situation to an end. And about 7 weeks ago, I wrote a piece for LifeZet that talked about the solution to the conflict with North Korea is an embargo, much like what we did in Cuba. We basically patrolled the island and nothing got in and nothing got out. And eventually what happened is the Russians backed down. They agreed to take away their missiles and the embargo ended.
This is, of course, to some extent, dependent on a problem that we've had all along, and that is that two of North Korea's terrestrial, or I should say neighbors who can get access to their country over land, are not cooperating. What would you expect would be, set aside for the moment, how the North Koreans might respond to a blockade? What would the Chinese and Russians do about trying to cut them off at this point?
I would respectfully somewhat disagree with your observation, because at the most recent Security Council vote on even stiffer sanctions against North Korea, Russia and China made it unanimous. And I think that there's a problem that Kim is creating for him in his relationship with China, because the last hydrogen bomb test put radioactive fallout in China. And I think the Chinese are now concerned that if he's going to test bigger and better bombs, the possibility of radioactive fallout on the Chinese people is something they have to be very concerned about.
Yeah. And I think they've voted for these resolutions in the past, if I'm not mistaken, Dan. It's just that they haven't really enforced them. So, but maybe you're right that this is a moment when they will start to do so. And if so, then a lot of other things become possible. I think that's for sure. But talk about Nikki Haley and something she said at the United Nations recently that seems to suggest people are picking up on your idea of a blockade.
She suggested that they needed to do a blockade of North Korea. Now, I want to talk about that, but just let me give you one fact that's happened since Labor Day. Under the UN sanctions, there has been a limitation on the amount of crude oil that can be sent into North Korea, about half of what was there. Between the period of time of Labor Day weekend and last Friday, the price of a gallon of gasoline in North Korea is now $10. A gallon of fuel oil or diesel fuel is $8. Gasoline is up 47%. Fuel oil is up 60% in cost. Less supply, and it's the basic economic principles. Lower supply against higher demand, prices rise. So the ability of the economy to withstand just that one piece, or the individual households that may have a car or a truck or whatever, or a business, it's going to have a tremendous impact on them. I think that the Chinese and the Russians are getting a little fed up with Mr. Kim and his ranting. We don't have a perspective. It's important for people, your listeners, to understand. The country of North Korea is about the size of the state of New Jersey. This is not a world massive country. Their total exports, 93% of all their exports go to China. 1 year's worth of exports from South Korea to China are worth 38 hours of exports from China to the United States. So the power that we have is the ability to influence the amount of trade that comes from China to the United States.
This is clearly where we were with Gordon Chang earlier in the program. It does considerable measure depend on the Chinese. And I think you're right. If in fact they're now getting a taste of what this nuclear menace represents in North Korea to their own people, it may improve rather dramatically their willingness to play a constructive role instead of undermining constructive roles. Let me ask you about another issue. You have been helping veterans who have been suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder and other wounds of war through a program that you call Songs and Stories for Soldiers. You can find out more about this wonderful program at songsandstoriesforsoldiers.us, folks. This comes to mind because I was listening earlier in the day to reports that there are servicemen and women from the Vietnam era who are now experiencing spikes in suicidal tendencies as a result of, apparently, the Ken Burns documentary on Vietnam now sort of reopening old wounds. Would you talk a little bit about what your program does and whether this is something that should be of great concern to all of us? We may see this long-suffering generation of veterans afflicted all over again.
You're absolutely right. In fact, I've already been getting phone calls from veterans that I've worked with across the country who are suffering from PTSD and sleep deprivation, which is an extension of PTSD, and then the ultimate extension is suicide. There seem to be outrage because the initial episode is a replay of what they went through when the country abandoned them, and we had people like Jane Fonda and other people protesting the war, trying to get soldiers to desert. The way they were treated, we spend a lot of time with an organization called the Vet Centers. These are for combat veterans only, and they were created at the 5 years after the end of the war, through the demands of veterans who felt that they were being discriminated against at the VA hospitals and were treated as if they were the problem, and much like the way we treated them when they came home as a general society. And so the vet centers were created to create a place where combat veterans could go and talk and deal with issues. And we work with those centers all across the country. And we still have the largest influx of veterans in all VA facilities across the United States are Vietnam era veterans. I work with the Disabled Veterans of America here in Cape Coral. That's their biggest issue, is dealing with veterans who are still suffering from PTSD. Think about that. This is going to continue for 18 episodes.
It is perhaps a profound disservice to the country to be doing this, certainly at least to our veterans, and we will be talking more about it, I hope, with you in the near future. Dan Perkins, thank you so much for your super contributions to our literature, notably with The Brotherhood of the Red Nile and the rest of your trilogy. We look forward to the new book coming out in October and appreciate the work that you're doing, of course, with Songs and Stories for Soldiers. Keep it up to us, sir. Come back soon. I hope the rest of you will come back to us again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.